Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. If the measure of a society is how well it cares for its most vulnerable, New York has some work to do. Maybe you've read over the past year the New York Times investigation by reporter Danny Hakim into the neglect and abuse of developmentally disabled New Yorkers living under state care. Now Governor Cuomo is pushing legislation to establish a new justice center for the protection of people with special needs. The legislation was developed in part from recommendations by our next guest, Clarence Sundrum. He's the governor's special advisor on vulnerable persons. He's a lifelong advocate for people with developmental disabilities. Mr. Sundrum, welcome to WNYC. Thank you so much for coming on.
It's my pleasure to be with you, Brian.
First of all, be more specific for our listeners so everybody knows exactly who we're talking about when we say vulnerable persons under the law.
We're actually covering a very broad spectrum of people who are served by one of six different state agencies. They are people who have developmental disabilities, conditions like mental retardation, cerebral palsy, people with mental illness, children who are in residential services run by the Office of Children and Families, or facilities that they license. There are kids who are in special education residential schools that are licensed by the State Education Department, people who are in adult homes that are supervised by the State Department of Health. So altogether, we're talking about 273,000 residential beds in this state, and approximately a million other people who are served in outpatient programs across the state.
You've been a lifelong advocate for people with all kinds of disabilities. We're talking here about these particular groups that you've just been defining. And this year-long investigation by the New York Times into the widespread problems in state-run homes uncovered really awful abuse, mainly by facility employees, abuse like sexual assault and beating or taunting residents, and also neglect, resulting in some cases death. Their investigation was mostly focused on developmentally disabled residents living in private and state-run facilities. These are people with conditions like Down syndrome, autism, cerebral palsy, as you know. And even after the repeated offenses, the Times found that in many cases, employees were simply transferred to other group homes run by the state. How is this possible?
Well, it points to weaknesses in the laws, weaknesses in the responses to reports that have been made, and frankly, in some cases, just a failure of people to report things that should have been reported or failure to follow up appropriately. The reports pointed out weaknesses in the way in which the state employee disciplinary system has worked. And in response to those sorts of concerns and others that were uncovered in the course of my review of the whole state operations, the governor has proposed a very sweeping set of reform measures that address many different aspects of the ways in which these human service systems function, with a single goal of trying to get them to function more effectively, to respond swiftly and strongly. Where you're dealing with serious abuses that are also probably criminal conduct, to make sure that abusers are terminated from their positions, that they are criminally prosecuted if the conduct involves criminal behavior, and that they are banned from ever working again in care of vulnerable people in any one of these human service systems. Now, it's a pretty comprehensive response to the nature of the problem that we're dealing with.
So people know a little bit more about your long-term commitment to the issue. You are the founder and chair of the New York State Commission on Quality of Care for the Mentally Disabled back from 1978 under Governor Hugh Carey, who first appointed you, to 1998 when I read you left after a disagreement with Governor Pataki's administration. What happened in that case, and how does a system break down to such a degree?
Well, Governor Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, since I also work for his father,
yeah.
Governor Andrew Cuomo had a cabinet meeting just a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things he was reflecting on is that when he came into office, he observed that there had been a period of atrophy of government functions and a certain level of apathy that had crept in. And it's not just in this area that we're talking about, but really it's seen it in state agencies across the board. And, of course, in this area where the government's responsibilities are to take care of people who have special needs, whose families depend upon us to do this job competently and effectively, people's welfare and their lives are at stake. So it's all the more urgent that we repair this part of the safety net and get government to function effectively on behalf of the people who are served. I mean, there are a million people in the state who are served by these six different agencies, and those million people all have families. So the proportion of the state's population that is affected by how well or how badly we do our job is very, very significant.
So last year, for example, there were about 10,000 allegations of abuse. But because of the conflicting regulations, one agency says that police should be summoned if there's a reason to believe that a crime has been committed, but another agency calls the police only if a potential felony has been committed, and a third agency turns to law enforcement only if a district attorney has, quote, indicated a prior interest. The Times investigation found that only 5% of abuse allegations were forwarded to law enforcement. So how would the governor's justice center that this legislation would create change the way allegations are dealt with?
Well, for one thing, we're trying to make the message both more consistent and more simple. Instead of having six different standards for when you engage law enforcement and six different ways of defining abuse and neglect, there would be a single standard to which employees and families and so on would be trained. The second thing is we're going to make the process of reporting a lot easier. The current system has different incident reporting mechanisms for all of these agencies. The governor's proposal establishes a single toll-free hotline that operates 24/7. Anybody can call, whether it's a family member, an employee working in one of these programs, a person in the community who sees something that seems like it's a case of abuse. They can call a hotline. The hotline would have trained staff to take the complaint. There would be access to law enforcement officers to identify if the behavior is criminal, and if so, to get it immediately to local law enforcement, to a district attorney, so that they can investigate and prosecute. And the hotline would also have, in the Justice Center, a special prosecutor that would have concurrent jurisdiction with the local district attorney. So if for whatever reason, particularly in smaller counties where they're strapped for resources to either investigate or prosecute, there would be a resource at the state level, special prosecutor-trained investigators, to investigate and prosecute crimes of abuse and neglect against vulnerable people. You know, law enforcement works by deterrence. You need to have effective responses when complaints are made. And the one of the purposes of this proposal is to have a robust, strong capacity to investigate and prosecute crimes against vulnerable people.
And I guess the goal would be for the center to be independent enough of the six agencies who administer the services to the people with developmental special needs, independent enough to have the kind of oversight that you suggest is needed. And to the governor's credit, he's taken a number of steps already before this bill could even be passed to beef up oversight and state care, like new rules about drug testing and criminal checks for employees. He also forced out the commissioner of the Office for People with Developmental Disabilities and has moved to fire 130 employees involved in accusations of serious neglect or abuse. Just politically, I gather that Senate Majority Leader Skelos and Assembly Speaker Silver are in favor of this legislation. So is this pretty much completely non-controversial and this is going to sail through this month?
Well, we expect that the legislature will ultimately act on this legislation and it will pass before the session is over. It passed the state Senate last week. It is still in the Assembly at this point, and there are discussions going on between all parties on the legislation. It's a complicated piece of legislation, as one might imagine, covering as many people and as many agencies as it does. So there is a lot to talk about the mechanisms and how this bill would work, because it does so many different things. In addition to the hotline and the special prosecutor that I talked about, one of the other things this bill does is it creates a registry of people who commit serious abuse or repeated abuse of vulnerable persons. And unlike existing registries that affect, for example, only nursing homes, this registry would affect all of human services. So a person who gets on this registry for having committed a serious abuse or repeatedly having abused a vulnerable person would be banned from working with vulnerable people again in any capacity, in any agency.
And the one criticism that I've heard is that perhaps the center would not be independent enough of the agencies. How will you ensure that they will be to have the kind of oversight and teeth behind that oversight that is needed?
Well, one of the important things that this legislation does is that the Justice Center would have no service provision responsibility. It doesn't operate any services for vulnerable people. It doesn't license anybody. Its sole job is to deal with these issues of abuse and neglect as they occur in these systems and to investigate it and to make sure there is an effective response to correct underlying problems, to prosecute people if necessary, to ban them from working with vulnerable people again if that's the appropriate response. The second thing that the governor has recognized is we really need to rebuild public confidence in the way in which this very important function is being carried out. So the bill has a number of things that provide for transparency. At the smallest level, what it does is it requires every provider of service to have an incident review committee that looks at each incident as it occurs, that looks at the investigation and the adequacy of the investigation, that looks at whether they've identified all the corrective and preventive actions that need to be taken. Mm-hmm. And on those committees, the legislation requires that it's not just the staff of the agencies, but they be representatives of families, of consumers, and outside advocacy groups. So there's sunshine going in at every single case that's being processed.
We're just about out of time, but a couple of things really quick. Not all these facilities are state-run, I realize.
That's right.
Many are private contractor nonprofits. Is there a greater breakdown in those private facilities than the public ones?
I think there are different types of breakdowns that occur in the private facilities. You know, you're right. Most of this service is provided not by the state directly, but by private contractors. And, you know, we have 11,700 different sites across the state which are providing some type of service to vulnerable people. Many of them have boards of directors that are made up of family members who are very engaged in the services that are provided. Some of them, you know, have sort of lost their way along the years that they've been in business. And, you know, we've seen just as state agencies sometimes go off the rails, these private agencies have gone off the rails as well. So what we are trying to do here is to have a single consistent standard of holding everybody accountable for the way in which they serve the most vulnerable people in our society.
And last thing, just because people who are close to anyone with these developmental disabilities living in facilities like that who might be listening right now and be having their interest piqued by this, or listeners who are among those folks being served themselves, because the 24-hour hotline is not in effect yet, if someone wants to report abuse, either on their own behalf or on behalf of a loved one, who should they call today?
Well, the simplest thing to do is currently there is a Commission on Quality of Care at the state level. That's who they ought to call for any issue in the developmental disabilities system or in the mental health system or in substance abuse services. And they also have a hotline to take calls currently. But that agency is going to be subsumed by the Justice Center when this legislation takes effect.
All right. So the Commission on Quality of Care, the
right.
agency in charge right now, it certainly does not speak well of human nature, the fact that there could be about 10,000 allegations of abuse last year alone on the part of staff, I guess, against people who are primarily adults, some children with developmental disabilities living in state-run or privately run facilities. But this, unfortunately, is part of our world. And now Governor Cuomo and his appointee, who has been our guest, Clarence Sundstrom, are trying to do something about it by overhauling the system. Legislation now making its way through the state legislature. Mr. Sundstrom, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, we will preview tomorrow's hearing on a New York City taxi fare hike. It seems like drivers are almost as skeptical of this as riders. Stay tuned and find out why. We're going to talk to Jennifer Gonerman from New York Magazine and a taxi driver who will be a guest who Jennifer rode along with on a 12-hour night shift. And we'll open up our phones for our many taxi driver listeners, 212-433-WNYC. call us up, but pull over first. Bye.